Parashat Vayelech, and of course, we are standing in front of Shabbat Shuva before Yom Kippur, and everything is connected. But I think one of the best psukim on our parasha that should really give us strength and encourage us, because you know, I also write on it in this page of this week, it's the atmosphere like is very heavy. You know, we finished Rosh Hashanah, now we have the 10 Aseret Yemei Tshuva, and Yom Kippur, and the feeling is like, you know, it's a heavy feeling. We all would like it like to be over already, like to be after Yom Kippur. So first of all, thinking like this, as we said in the past, is quite wrong, because this is one of the best times of the year. It's very hard to understand it, but if we think about it, where in the world you sin and you can come in front of the judge or in front of the ruler or the president and he's going to tell you, okay, everything is okay, you start a new page. Nowhere. Only God himself can tell us that we have this possibility of atonement and repent from all our sin, and this is a great simcha. This is not something to be sad of, not something to be afraid of. On the contrary, this is the best time of the year. Who knows what we did the whole year? And then God tells us, okay, no problem, do tshuva. It's very interesting, this procedure, but it's very easy to talk about it and say it's a happy time, but we all know that we all normally waiting till it's over. In our parsha, we have a very interesting pasuk. Pasuk, it's, by the way, it's twice in our parsha. In Pasuk Chet, Pasuk 8, Perek Lamed Aleph, Vayelech is a very short parsha, so it's on Chamishi.
Chamishi?
Yes, Chamishi. Okay. But it's very short, so you have to be careful not to go past it.
Chamishi,
I mean Chamishi, no, sorry, Shlishi.
Chamishi.
Shlishi, Pasuk Chet. Got it?
Shlishi.
Shlishi. Shlishi.
It's the first page.
Okay, Shlishi. No, V'Hashem hu ha'olech lefanecha. It's Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk 8.
Oh, 8.
V'Hashem.
Be strong and courageous.
Shlishi.
No.
Shlishi. Pasuk Chet.
Shlishi?
Pasuk Chet.
What? What's up here? Tavzan. Yudzan. Oh, I haven't written Tzafim. I'm sorry. I apologize.
We are in Vayelech.
The farm blew the pages. I'm sorry. I apologize. Okay. Chet.
V'Hashem. Hu ha'olech lefanecha. God is walking in front of you. Who yiyeh imach, he is going to be with you. Lo yarpecha velo yazvecha. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to let you go. Lo tira velo techat. So in other words, there is no reason to fear. If God is with us the whole way, doesn't matter where we are, God is in front of us. And I think, and then if you go on, if you go back, like the last pasuk of Sheni, pasuk Vav, same perek. Chizku ve'imtzu. Al tiru ve'al tarsu. Ki Hashem Elokecha, hu ha'olech imach. Lo yarpecha ve'lo yazvecha. The same thing. God is walking with you. So when we read this, we understand that we are in good hands and God is with us wherever we are. One of the questions we're asking ourselves in this time is, why is Rosh Hashanah before Yom Kippur? And every year we ask the same question. Why? Because Rosh Hashanah is really the judgment day. And Yom Kippur is the
Atonement Day.
And if you would think about it, first of all,
you can't be judged unless you have been atoned.
Exactly. So first of all, take all the sins from me, and then let me stand in front of the judge, which would be the best way. No. First of all, he's judging me with all my sins, and now I've got to go through the procedure of doing tshuva. It sounds strange. It's the opposite way.
No, because you're admitting your sins now.
Yeah, but you see, if God really wants the best for us, what would you do? You have a court case.
So if you do tshuva before you admit your sins, you say, I'm free, I really don't...
No, now you come to the... After you did tshuva, but... So, what's the difference? You do tshuva after you were being judged already? Or to do tshuva before you're being judged?
Before.
The logic says, I'll do tshuva,
yeah,
and then I'll stand in front of God. By the way, Chodesh Elul, before Rosh Hashanah, it's called Chodesh Aslicha Varachamin. Like, you would think that in this Chodesh, what do? I look through my life this year and see what I did wrong and do tshuva. But no, that's not what we are supposed to do. By the way, you know that in Rosh Hashanah you don't mention sin. There is no Ashamnu Bagadnu on Rosh Hashanah. And Yom Kippur is full with it. In other words, in Rosh Hashanah something happens that gives us the opportunity to get to Yom Kippur. So, if we're not thinking that we're standing in front of God as a judge, and then we are being repent on Yom Kippur, we have to understand a very important point. Says the Midrash, Sha'alu l'chokhma, they ask wisdom, a sinner, Chote ma'oncho, what's going to be his punishment? Amru lahem, they told them, Chata'im tirdof ra'a. What do you mean? You sinned, you have to pay for it. Chata'im tirdof ra'a. So they went to the prophecy and asked, Sha'alu l'anvua, Chote ma'oncho, a sinner, what is going to be his punishment? Amen. So you know what the prophecy said? Hanefesh achotet, hitamut. The soul who sinned should die. What do you mean? You sin against God? Sha'alu lekut shabrichu, went to the Kodesh Baruch Hu and asked him, Chote ma'oncho, a sinner, what is his punishment? Amar lahem, ya'asu tshuva ve'itkaper. Do tshuva, and everything is finished. You're redeemed. In other words, the logic says, if you sin, you have to pay for it. The only one who says there is another way is God. Why? Because God is the King of all kings. He is the Creator. He can do whatever He wants to. He is the one who created the world. And he is the king. And a king can change everything. So now, if I want the king to change, what do I have to do the first thing?
To repent.
to crown him as my king. Because if he's not my king, if he's not my king, I cannot get the redemption. I cannot get the atonement. So that's why Rosh Hashanah is before. Because Rosh Hashanah is, the whole idea is, I'm crowning the king. Now when I crown the king can give me forgiveness. Can king can do this special system of atonement that normally doesn't exist in the normal world. But in order to get it, I need first of all to crown the king. That's why Rosh Hashanah is before Yom Kippur. Then there is another reason. We say every day, morning and night, LeDavid Hashem Ori V'Ishi. LeDavid Hashem Ori V'Ishi Mira Hashem Ha'os Chayim Mimi Efrad. Ori V'Ishi, my light and my salvation. What is the light? The Mefarshim say the light is Rosh Hashanah. And salvation is Yom Kippur. Then we have also Sukkot in the same
place. Is also the Torah.
Of course. It's always the Torah. But who gives you the Torah? God. So the light is being given to us through Rosh Hashanah. Because on Rosh Hashanah we crown the king. And Rosh Hashanah gives us the light to see the right way to do tshuva. Without the light, it's like, this is the story being told about a group of people going for a journey. And suddenly in the middle of the way, night comes, they have a torch, but the torch doesn't work. So they cannot find their way. And they're really desperate. There is nothing to do. You know, you don't see, they don't know the area, there's no light, really dark. So they pray to God, and one of the people starts to play with the torch, and he takes the batteries out, puts them in on another side, and suddenly
there's light.
There is light. God listened to the prayer. Now with this light, they even managed to see there were special signs in this place. Like if you ever been on Shmurat Teva, in a resort, that you have the places are being, you have signs on the stones that show you the right way to go to the destination you need. Mm-hmm. There are blue signs, yellow signs. There is a map that tells you what sign brings you to where. And in the dark, they didn't see anything. But with the light, the torch worked, suddenly they saw all those signs and they went outside and got to the place where they're supposed to get. And that's exactly the idea of Rosh Hashanah. We come to Rosh Hashanah, we don't know where we are. You know, we did certain things, and now we have to stand in front of God, and then we have to do those 10 days of atonements, and we don't know how are we going to do it. So Rosh Hashanah, we blow the shofar, and the shofar connects us with God, and the shofar crowns God on us, and God puts on us the light that shows us the right way. Suddenly, after Rosh Hashanah, we have the power, we have special power. The light of Rosh Hashanah is a special light that gives us the power to go through those 10 days and to get to Yom Kippur ready. And in Yom Kippur, this is the Day of Atonement. So this is, again, in order to get to the right place, we need Rosh Hashanah before Yom Kippur. In other words, everything here is the way that the Kodesh Baruch Hu shows us His love. Yes.
Aren't we atoning between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur with Slichot?
Sorry?
Slichot.
Yes.
Ben Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
Yes. Different.
Why is it different? I mean, you're asking, you're admitting that you have sinned and you're a bad boy and...
Yeah.
You've done many wrong things. Yeah. You're asking for forgiveness.
Of course. That's the part of the procedure. But it's not, you see, the thing is that, you know, when you go through the year and you do things, we say on Shani v'Chamishi and then also in Minak Sfarad, every day they say, Hashamnu Bagadnu. So you do it, some people do it every day. So what? What's the difference between now and then? It's different days. We have the light now of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's why it works much better. That's why those days are so beautiful, because normally the whole year we also can do slichos and we can ask God for forgiveness, but then it's much harder. Now it's so easy, because the minute we crowned God, you see, the idea is very, very interesting. You have two ways to show God that you're changing your ways. The first system is like I'm crowning God on me, which means, what does it mean when I crown God on me? That I have to listen to God. It means that from this day on, I am, you God, you are.
I will observe His commandments.
Exactly. So in other words, this is a tshuva in a certain way. That's doing the good thing. So in other words, Rosh Hashanah is really admitting that God, you are my king, and I'm going to listen to you. On Yom Kippur, it's a different system. On Yom Kippur is like to take all the sins and one by one break them. In other words, on Rosh Hashanah, I am saying to God, that's it, I'm going to change my way. That's why we don't mention any sins on Rosh Hashanah. Because Rosh Hashanah is crowning the king, and with this, really, I am saying to God, from this day on, I'm changing my ways. And where do you prove that you change your ways? On the 10 days that connect you to Yom Kippur. You show here. You see, now I understand what I did wrong, and now I do tshuva on the things I did wrong, because now you are my king and I'm going to change my way. So in order to change my ways, I have to understand, first of all, what I did wrong. Because if I don't understand what I did wrong, how can I do good? It's lilmod, tuleh. It's like in our parsha is written, Pasuk Yud Bet, in Perek Lamed Aleph, it's after Revi. Akel et ha'am, you've got it?
Yud Bet.
Yes.
Yeah,
Akel et ha'am, gather the people, men, women, children, anashim, v'anashim, v'ataf. Got it? Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Bet, Pasuk 12. Hakel et ha'am, ha'anashim ve'anashim ve'ataf, gather all the people, men, women, children, ve'gercha asher b'sharecha, for what? Lema'an ishmeu, for they will listen, ulema'an ilmedu, and learn, ve'yiru et Hashem Elokechem, and then they will have the fear of God, ושמרו, and they'll keep to do את כל דברי התורה הזאת, to keep all the words of this Torah. In other words, in order to keep the Torah, I have to learn Torah. I have to listen. I have to understand what it's all about. You cannot ask me to do things if I don't know what it's all about. So in other words, to say, God, you are my king, okay, beautiful, you did it. Now what? Now you have to practice. You have to show, what's the meaning God is my king? I have to listen to God. In order to listen to God, I have to know what God wants from me. So I have to learn what God wants from me. So that's the stage that we all listen to God and understand.
Why did they emphasize the stranger? After all, usually they say often...
It's very interesting. It's a very, very good question. And that is what connects us to what we say on Rosh Hashanah. You see, in the end of Tefillah, we have a part that's called Aleinu L'Shabech. We all know it. But when we get to this point, normally we are already finished. They say it like, oh, and people don't realize that this is one of the most important parts of the tefillah. And you know why? For a very simple reason. You know why? What do we say on Musaf? In the middle of Musaf, what part do we say? Aleinu Leshabeach is in the middle of Musaf. Yeah. Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, the middle of it, not only Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur also. Yeah. So If this is in the center of Musaf, what does it mean? Is it important or not? Now, what do we say in Aleinu Lishaber? This is crowning the king, but not only crowning the king. Shelo asanu kegoi ha'aretz, didn't make us as all the other Gentiles. We are special. Why? Because we believe in God. But al ken nekaveh lecha Hashem Elokeinu lirot merah. This is why we are hoping that the day will come that all the idol worshipper will stop worshipping idols. And what do we do? What's going to be the end? Bayom ahu yeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. And that's gercha asher bisharecha. The idea is that the Torah wants us all human beings to be together and worship God. It's not only the Jews. The Jews are the leaders, are the beginning. But it has to come from us, through us, to all the people of the world. That there is one God, and this God we have to worship. So that's what he's telling you, v'gercha asher bisharecha. Because at the end of days, that will be the ideal time when everybody is going to worship God. In other words, if sometimes people think that we are special, and all the others are, we don't care about them. On the contrary, as we said, "V'atem tiuli mamlechet koanim ve'goy kadosh." We are like the priests, but we have to give it to all the other people, because the prophecy is that at the end of days, the whole world will worship God. So that's why we have to understand even here that where do we go to? It's not we are by ourselves and we don't care about nobody else. By the way, when we come to Sukkot in the temple, they used to sacrifice 70 sacrifices for whom? For all the 70 nations. In other words, we have to take care not only on us, but on the whole world. But it starts from us. It's like we're crowning the king. It says, and God will be the king of the whole universe. And you know, Sister Rampinku says it, I think, Zatzal. First of all, crown the king on yourself. Then crowning on the whole world. All the world. But do you listen to God? So first of all, crown the king on yourself. Then look at the other people. But we are very great. So the idea is to crown the king on us. And when we crown the king on us, and we learn what we're supposed to do, then we understand what we did wrong. And then we can come to God, Kodesh Baruch Hu, and tell him, we're going to fix it. It's like, if we want to understand, it's this mashal that we bring. A father had a big factory. And we got old. He decided to give the factory to his kids. And the kids got the factory. And it was a very good factory. So one of the kids just enjoyed life. He took another secretary, and he was coming like at 10 o'clock to work with this beautiful new car. Changing it all the time, going abroad to meeting that it was not necessary, enjoying life, chaval al hazman. And the other kids didn't do much more, maybe went a little more to the factory, but also let things go by themselves. And you know what happens when you let things go by themselves and you use the whole money? What happens to the factory? At the end of the year, it was really, give them a few days, and the whole business is finished. So the father comes, sees what they did to the business, he says, what have you done? How dare you? I gave you a beautiful business that works and makes money, and look what you've done. Okay. I'm going to shut down the whole thing and you will go and look for a different job. So the kids came to him, Slicha, we ask your forgiveness, we did a mistake, we're going to fix it. He says, what do you mean you're going to fix it? How are you going to fix it? Do you know how to fix it? So one of the sons came with a plan. Says, here, Father, I knew I did a mistake, but here I've got a plan. This is the way I'm going to fix things. I'm going to fire this one, I'm going to do this, I'm going to stop buying all those stupid things I did. So, oh, you've got a plan, you take the factory.
You what?
You take the factory. I give you another year. Take the factory. You've got a good plan to fix things. In other words, when we stand in front of God, it says, Ashamnu bagadnu, ashamnu bagadnu gazalnu, well, we did wrong, we did wrong. God is going to ask us, okay, no, so, what do you want to do this year? What are you going to say? Ashamnu bagadnu gazalnu, I did wrong. So, okay, you did wrong, I understand. So, how do you want to fix it? We have to come with a plan. We have to tell God, no, we know we did wrong, but now we're going to change. You cannot stand in front of God and says, okay, I sinned, I'm asking your forgiveness. Okay, you ask your forgiveness from God, but what are you going to do in order to change the situation? What's going to make the machine work? What's going to make the next year work better for you than last year? If you're going on in the same way, is it going to be better or worse?
It'll be worse.
So you want God to give you another year? If you want God to give you another year, what do you have to do? You have to come with a plan. And by the way, people think plan, it sounds, wow, how it's small things. Just show God God is going to help you. Alone, we cannot do anything by ourselves. But we can ask God to help us. But we have to show God that we have the intention to change. And not to stand in front of God. I did wrong, but I don't know what I'm going to do next year. So what's God going to tell you? This is not asking for forgiveness. This is not being sorry about what you did. This is not enough. So what should we do? First of all, we have to understand that God loves us and He wants us back and He wants us to go for another year, for another 20 years, 100 years. He wants us to get to the destination, to the Geula, to the redemption. He wants us to. But He needs us to show Him that we want to go in the right direction. So in other words, when we get, especially in those days now, what we have to do now is to think about what are we going to change this year? Now, it doesn't have to be big things. On the contrary, small things. For example, there is, I took on myself this year, Bezrat Hashem, when there is Kaddish said, Kaddish is very important. Unfortunately, you can see people in the end, and the Kaddishim on the end, they're already putting away the talus and the tefillin, and people are already on the move. Same Kaddish. You know what a Kaddish is? So I took on myself, Bezrat Hashem, that I'm not going to do anything when Kaddish is being said. In other words, when it's the end of the tefillah, and the Kaddish after Aleinu Shabeach, or after Enkel Oheinu, or whatever, I'm not going to take my tefillin or the talus. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to listen till the Kaddish is finished. By the way, one of the crucial points is on Rosh Chodesh. On Rosh Chodesh, the men take the tefillin off before Musaf. Now, there is a very limited time to do this. So, normally they start in the middle of the Kaddish or even before. So, it's wrong. Because you should listen to the Kaddish and then do it. So this is also one of the points where it's quite hard to do it. But at the end of the day, it's not a hard thing to do.
Why don't they just give you more time to do it?
They give you more time to... they don't give you more time to do other things. So you want to...
it's a race.
Yeah, unfortunately. So, for example, that's a thing that you can do it. It's not a big problem. So, okay, you wait 2 minutes more. Even it's 1 minute. I didn't even check how long it takes. But it's nothing. It's like 1 minute, 2 minutes. That's all.
That's not so bad. But when they're standing there and talking with each other while they're...
That's even worse. That's even worse, as I'm saying. So I took on myself to be on this side of the Kaddish to try to be more particular, more careful. So that's a God sees I took on myself something that I can do. That's a normal plan. You know, you can come to God, I'm going to do this and that and that and that. God's going to look at you. You're joking with me? You know you cannot do this. So why are you coming with those stupid ideas? Come with me with something serious that you can do. I don't need big things, small things. It can be, you go out of the toilet, Asher Yatzar. The bracha you say when you're coming out of the toilet. By the way, a very important blessing. I'm going to say another Perek Tehillim every day. Small things. I'm going to say in a more kavanah when I wake up in the morning, Modeh Ani Lefanecha. Everybody can choose whatever he wants, but don't choose big things. Small things that you can do them. And you have to understand, the minute we take on ourselves a small thing, it leads to other good things. But the main thing is that God looks at us and says, this guy is serious. They are serious. Why? He takes on himself something he can do, not something he cannot do. God doesn't need this. So this is our way to get to Yom Kippur in the right way. So we say, we ask forgiveness on what we did wrong. And we tell God, here, we have a plan. We can do something. That's what we can do. That's what we promise that we try to do. And Bli Neder will be successful. And then we can stand in front of God. But to come to God and say only, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, and then it's like the story I told you with this... The rabbi had this congregation that were not very religious, but on that when they say vidui, ashamnu bagadnu, they used to bang on their heart, ashamnu bagadnu, the whole shul was trembling. So one day he came to them, the rabbi gave them a drosho, he said, you know, this morning I understood why you're doing it so hard. Ashamnu bagadnu. I went near a flower shop and I saw this lady that putting in a vase flowers. So she put the flowers in, it was full. So what did she do? When it was full, what do you do? So you can put another flower. Then, so now I understand what you do. You said boom, boom, boom. Now we can go out and do more sins. There is more space. But you see, that's a joke, but the joke is sometimes, now people think, we stand, we say Ashamnu Bagadnu, so everything is okay. Now we can do whatever we want to. People go to a rabbi, ask for a blessing. Okay, I'm blessed already, I don't need to do anything. They go to rabbis, they go to places, they go to Uman, they go there, they go there, and they think that's it, they did it. There is this story about the Magid Mikoznitz, a very famous story. A lady came to him once and asked for a blessing on something very important for her. And the Maggid told her he's going to give her what she wants, the blessing, if she's going to bring him 100 golden coins. And this lady was not exactly a rich lady. He told him, I'm a poor lady, I haven't got this money. So, do you want a blessing from me? 100 golden coins. So she went. She came back after a few days and she had 80 golden coins. She took from here, from there. She came to the Maggid and says, here, I tried very hard. This is what I got. I got 80. I've got 20 missing. What did the Maggid say?
I want 100.
I want 100. I said 100. You're going to bring me 100. 8 is not enough. So she got really furious. She got really angry. So, you are the Maggid that they say. You are a great rabbi. You are a chassid. You are this. I don't need you. I go and ask God. I don't need you. Says, oh, this is what I waited for. Now I'm going to give you the blessing. I don't need not your 80 coins and not 100 coins. I need you to understand that I'm not God. You don't pray to me and I'm not the one who is blessing you. The one who is blessing you and giving you is God. I can give you my blessing that God will listen. But I'm not instead of God. You have to understand that God Himself is the only one who can give you what you want. And this is something very important for us to understand. If people think that they can't go to this Mekubal or Hasid or Rabbi and ask his blessing, and then everything is organized, they go to Meron, they go to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, they do a few prayers, give tzedakah, everything is okay, they can come back and do whatever they want. It doesn't work like this. First of all, you have to help yourself. Secondly, you have to understand that we, Baruch Hashem, our Father in Heaven, we have a direct connection with Him. We don't need nobody in the middle. And if we think there is a whole discussion about a part of the Slichot that they say in the end, Machnisei Rachamim, Achnisu Rachamim. It's a part that says that it talks to the angels, that they will take our prayers and put them in front of God. And there is this whole discussion if you're allowed to say it or not. Why? Because in a certain way it looks like you're praying,
to
the angels. And you cannot pray to the angels. So it gets, that's a very important point. And you have to understand, those who put this in the Slichot knew what they're doing. And of course there is no problem with it. But because the fear of maybe people will think that when they say it, wrongly of course, that they're praying to the angel, not praying to the angel, praying to God, but they're asking the angels to help them.
To pass the message.
Exactly. It's not that chas v'shalom. The same way when you go to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, you're not praying to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that's going to help you. This is idol worship. You pray to God that all the zchuyot that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai has got are going to help you that for your prayers to go up to God. And that is something also very important. That's why we crown the king on Rosh Hashanah. Because before we start the whole procedure, we have to understand who makes everything, who does everything, and who we pray to. We pray only to God, nobody else. After we understand this, then we can get to Yom Kippur. Because otherwise, there is no Yom Kippur. We're going to end the shiur with an interesting, also another interesting thing. We said David Hashem Uri Vishi every day. And this is a very, by the way, it's very important. Maybe one day we'll go through it and explain it, because every word there is unbelievable. But at the end, we say, Kavel Hashem, hope to God, Chazak v'yametz libecha, get strong, and how do you say, ametz libecha, and take your heart into it, vekaveh el Hashem, and hope for God. But you said already, kaveh el Hashem, in the beginning. So why do you say again, kaveh el Hashem? Because sometimes we pray to God and we feel that nothing happened. Even if sometimes this feeling is wrong. But what David HaMelech is telling us, there is always hope. And if you think that your prayer didn't work, or if you feel something, so pray again. Kaveh el Hashem. You see it doesn't work? Chazak. Get your strengths together and pray again. Kaveh el Hashem. Chazak v'yametz libecha v'kaveh el Hashem. God is there. God is listening. And that is what we have to understand. There is no, en yeush ba'olam klal, they say. There is no reason to be depressed. Even if this torch doesn't light, so you pray to God. God will help. When you try to go in the right way, and you feel it doesn't go, so what do? You give up?
Give up. Try again.
Never give up. Try again and again and again. And especially now, when we're standing in front of Shabbat Shuva, when we're standing in front of Yom Kippur, and we're in those beautiful days that anything can happen. People can change everything. And again, I'm saying, one of the very important things is to understand that we're not alone in the meaning, not only that God is with us, all of us, we are one unit. Ake'elet ha'am, that's what he's saying. Take all the people together. When we are together, we have a lot of power. So, if we now want to look to the new year and to Yom Kippur that is standing in front of us. So first of all, we crowned the king yesterday. God is our king. And while we did this, we also listened to the shofar. That was not only crowning the king. It's a beautiful explanation of the Rashar Hirsch about blowing the shofar. We have a normal blowing, and then we have a broken blowing, which is divided by two, which is Trois. Shvarim Trois. And then we have another long blowing. Toot, one, not blow. And says the Rashar Hirsch, says a beautiful thing. And I think that that's what we have to take with us from Rosh Hashanah to the year. The first blowing is to call us to get together and to get into ourselves, to concentrate. And then the broken blowing is to start an action, start moving. What did I do wrong? How do I fix it? And then move in the right direction. In other words, when the shofar is blowing the first time, it's calling us, wake up! Let's gather up together. Let's see what's wrong. And now, let's get into action, which is the broken voice. Start action. And the last voice is, now we're on the right direction. We're going in the right direction. So it's waking up, concentrating, moving in the right direction. And that's exactly the idea of the blowing of the shofar. We did it, and we hope that we are now on the right direction, that we're going to go through Shabbat Shuvah, going to go through Yom Kippur, and Bezrat Hashem, after Yom Kippur, we're going to be signed for good life, healthy life, full with happiness, and parnosa, and everything we need. And of course, not forgetting health and the redemption. The geula b'mirah b'yameinu, amen.
Amen.
ברוכים תהיו.